Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at homes and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This morning, we have gathered together like normally we do for worship every week, Sundays, 10:30. We gather for worship. We gather for fellowship. We gather for encouragement and for edification. I am unashamed to say that this is one of my favorite times of every week. When the gathered body of Christ comes together, there is something special going on. My life is a part of your life. Your life is a part of my life. We are a part of each other's story. For just a few moments every Sunday, our stories collide. We meet and we talk and we laugh. Sometimes we cry. We share our victories and we share our burdens and our hurts and our pains and our sicknesses. We pray for and with one another. We drink a cup of coffee with one another. We share a cinnamon roll or donut with one another. We sing praises together. I don't know if you noticed, but all the songs that we sang today, they were plural. We sang a lot of we's and not a lot of I's. Those songs are okay and those are fine. They're great songs. But today we want to focus on the we songs and the our and the plural. We sing these praises together. We give our money together and we celebrate communion or the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. We do all of that together. Now, what I just described contained a lot of something that I fear is in danger of being replaced. What I said above contains a lot of we. And I fear that we is being phased out for me. Some call this the cult of individualism. It's the idea that I need to do life on my own. I need to succeed on my own. I need to do this all by myself. I suspect that this is part of our rebellious DNA, or the rebellion in our DNA. I don't believe that we were created to do life on our own. That's why God created male and female, and he declared that it is not good for people to be alone. But part of our rebellious or the rebellion in our DNA is to say, "God, I don't really need other people. I can do this all by myself." And our culture is caving to this notion as we morph into a society where self-service is the rule and not the exception. I can pump my own gas. I can scan my own groceries. Every time I go to the grocery store or to Walmart, they're adding more self-checkout lanes. Because I can do that on my own. I know how to scan my own groceries. I can do that on my own. I won't have to wait on other people. I'll just do it all by myself. I can stay at home with my smartphone and get all the info I need, all the interaction I need, and all the entertainment I need. All by myself. Yeah, the more advanced and more perks and technological advances we discover on the smartphone, you know, that That's taken away more interaction with other people. So what is the result of this cult of individualism, this idea of isolation, or I can do things all by myself? Nearly 20 years ago, Robert Putnam wrote an interesting book entitled Bowling Alone, The Collapse and Revival of American Community. Now this is, again, a book that was written 20 years ago, but it reads and is just as relevant today as it was 20 years ago. In this book, the author reported the alarming decline of participation in bowling leagues, among some other things. And he shared that that decline was an indicator that, quote, our stock of social capital, the very fabric of our connections with each other, has plummeted, impoverishing our lives and communities. Now, Putnam draws on evidence including nearly 500,000 interviews over a 25-year period to show that we sign fewer petitions, we belong to fewer organizations that meet, we know our neighbors less, we meet with friends less frequently, and even socialize with our families less often. We're even bowling alone. He notes that more Americans than ever are bowling than ever before in history, but less and less are bowling in leagues. They're bowling alone. He would go on to say that the reason for this decline is that changes in work and family, structure, age, suburban life, television, computers, factors, all those factors have contributed to that decline. Again, that was before the advent of smartphones. And so you can just imagine that over the 20-year period, those numbers have continued to decline. So while this book is geared toward rejuvenating community in the American society, there is much for the church to hear. As a church that resides in America, we too can fall prey to a growing desire to be isolated from the community where they live and the church community. It's one of the things that not only we're doing as individuals in our own neighborhoods. I mean, most of us, we don't even know our neighbors like two doors down. We might know our neighbors that live right next door to us. But once you start going two doors down, you're like, I've lived on my street for 15 years. I have no clue who lives there. But it's also happening with churches, where churches have been in communities for years, and the church community don't know the community at large. Isolation. So the individual isolation is fueling a church isolation. For this reason, it is so vitally important that we are reminded from time to time that the Lord's church, the body of Christ, the church of Christ, we need to be reminded that we reject individualism. We need to be reminded that the Holy Bible, the scripture that we read, that we hold so dear, talks about community, relationship, togetherness. And so we reject individualism. It rejects the notion that we can do life on our own. We reject the temptation to do life apart from one another. The passage in Acts that I read earlier sets the stage for a growing church that would have impact and influence all over the world. I continue to marvel that this group of people in Jerusalem so many years ago has had worldwide impact, where literally billions and billions of people have followed this way because of this group's practice, their devotion first on the day of Pentecost. Now, how did this group of Jesus followers turn this world upside down? They did it together. How did this group of people spread the message of Jesus all across the known world? They did it together. How did this group of people, largely uneducated, convince dignitaries and people in high positions to follow Jesus? They did it together. How did this group stay focused on their mission to love God and to love others? They did it together. How did this group of people endure the terrible persecution enacted by their enemies? They did it together. And how did this group deal with disappointment and death and disillusionment with life? They did it together. So, church, if we want to live a full life in Christ, we need to do life together. If we want to grow stronger in Christ, we need to do life together. If we want to have impact on this community, we have to do life together. If we want to overcome disappointment and disillusionment and the sadness and grief of death, we need to do life together. If we want to combat the growing trend of isolation and individualism, we need to unsubscribe from isolation and we need to do life together. We need to unsubscribe from isolation. And so this means that we commit to loving one another. Isn't that what the Bible says? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I love you. If we're going to unsubscribe from isolation, we have to serve one another, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? So why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I will serve you. Just turn to your neighbor. Just say, I'll serve you. If we're going to unsubscribe from isolation, the Bible says we need to accept one another. Even though we might disagree on some things, we accept one another. So turn to your neighbor and say, look, we may disagree on some things, but I accept you in the name of Jesus. Go ahead. The Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Oh, we'll skip that one. We'll skip that one. We'll skip that one. The Bible says, help one another. The Bible says, encourage one another. The Bible says, care for one another. The Bible says, forgive one another. The Bible says, submit to one another. The Bible says, commit to one another. The Bible says, build trust with one another. The Bible says, be accountable to one another. The Bible says, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The Bible says, meet with one another. The Bible says, be humble to one another in love. The Bible says, be compassionate to one another. The Bible says, be at peace with one another. The Bible says, comfort one another. The Bible says, be kind to one another. The Bible says, carry one another's burdens. If we want to have a life full of the presence of God, full of the blessing of God, we need to do life together. Amen. I suspect this call to community and unsubscribing from isolation was part of the impetus of Jesus during his final days as he was... His life on earth was drawing to an end. He gathered his disciples together and bringing them to a table to share with them some final instructions and to eat a final meal. This is no ordinary meal. It was a Passover meal. It would be Jesus' final Passover meal. Indeed, probably be his last meal. It was special for so many reasons. Jesus chose this night an occasion to share a lot with his disciples. It was probably at this setting, this last meal, where Jesus looked at his close disciples, we call them apostles, missionaries, the 12. And he looked at them and he said, little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as soon as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment that you love one another Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, we're always, you know, maybe fascinated with the famous last words of, or the last words of famous people. And because in those last words usually hold a lot of weight. I think these are some of Jesus' final words to his disciples, particularly in a teachable moment. In church, they carry a lot of weight. A new commandment. Love as I have loved you. And by this, people will know that you are my disciples. It's hard to show love the way that Jesus showed love when you're isolated, when you subscribe to the cult of individualism, when you say that I can do life all by myself. Jesus' call to love is a call to community. Isolation was not going to be an option. Transformation of the world was going to come through community and touching other people and not building yourself an island and just staying away from other people. Look, there are times when we need to disconnect from others. I get that. Jesus did that. But he went back to the people. Dwayne Wade is a professional basketball player who played his entire career with the Miami Heat. He played most of his career with the Miami Heat. He had a short stint in Cleveland for a while. He was in Chicago for a little bit, where he's from. He played college basketball at Marquette University in Wisconsin. And as a college student, he was just kind of this interesting guy. We knew that his mother was in prison for drug crimes, and he kind of raised himself. He became a father at a very early age. He was a college student and a father, and he was drafted into the NBA. He kind of came out of nowhere during March Madness, the year he was drafted. He just came out of nowhere. I was like, who is this guy? And went on to the NBA, where he won three basketball championships. Dwayne Wade played his last game, professional basketball game, last week. During the season, they knew he was going to retire. Dwayne Wade had been exchanging jerseys with some of the players. This is sort of this thing that you do. You know, it's my last game. Can I exchange a jersey with you? So there's a company that put together a commercial that wanted to add to this story of jersey exchanges. I want you to take a watch to this very compelling video. And I think what we'll see is that had Dwayne Wade been a successful basketball player and chose to just isolate himself and live as an individual on an island, he made enough money where he could buy his own island, trust me. But he chose something different. He chose the route of community. So I want you to take a watch at the impact of community.
I have no idea who's coming. Like, literally, no idea. Hello.
Hi, Dwayne.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing, brother?
Pretty good. And yourself? It's been about 12 years since I last seen you. I come from an area where not too many people make it.
It was always my dream that I'd get the chance to go to college, but we just didn't have the money.
You mean so much to us. And
my brother Joaquin loved you from the beginning. He passed away in Parkland on February 14th. He was one of the 17 victims.
10 days before Christmas, our house burned down and we lost everything. It was one of the lowest points in my life.
Hey, Dwight.
How you doing, Mom?
You were the joy of my life. But I was dropping the ball. That day that I just couldn't do it no more was the day that I was gonna have to turn myself in. And I seen the tears just fall from your eyes. Your mama went down a road, Dwayne, that I didn't ever think I'd come back from. But on that road, I noticed you kept showing up. And you'll come and see about me. And Dwayne, because you believe in me, when I got out of prison, I was a different woman.
We received a phone call. Would you mind if Dwayne Wade take you and the family on a shopping spree? It just meant the world to me that you were there for us at this time.
And Thank you. You
became our hero.
A lot of the words that you said hit a spark and kind of changed where I was going.
Without you and your full tuition scholarship, none of this would have been possible.
You're not Way the basketball player, the legend. You're the human being that took the time and on his own wrote my brother's name on his shoe, and you cared.
When you bought your mama that church, you don't even understand the lives that you changed. So I don't have a jersey. But I brought you this.
I don't have a jersey to trade with you, but I definitely have this. The blazer that I wore to my first job interview.
My cap and gown from graduation.
This is important because Joaquin wore this in his last championship. My family wanted you to have it.
Please don't forget my brother, Joaquin. Having you as a role model has made all the difference.
One of the special robes that you gave me. Purple symbolized royalty, and you are royal in everybody's life that you've touched.
You completely changed the course of my life.
I know my brother is with you always.
It wouldn't have been possible to be here if it wasn't you.
I am more proud of the man you have become than the basketball player. You are bigger than basketball.
That's pretty powerful. And that's what happens when you commit to doing life together with other people. I wonder if we had cameras back in the first century, if there were people in the first century who were in Jerusalem who were poor, that were the beneficiaries of people who sold their possessions and gave the proceeds to these folks that needed some help, because there were people who were committed to doing life together. And see, in Jesus, one of the reasons why we stress doing life together in here as the body of Christ so that we can do life together with people who really need Jesus, who might need help, who might need a friend, who might need a sister, who might need a brother, who might need a father, who might need a mother, who might need a mentor, who might need a role model, who might need help with their schoolwork, who might need help with just learning about life, who might need help with their marriage, who might need help with parenting. The reason why we stress coming together on Sundays or Wednesdays or connect groups, the reason why we stress that is so that we can do life the way that Jesus imagined it. In the church in the first century, the church in the book of Acts chapter 2, they were a church that took the cue right from Jesus. They were baptized and immediately they started doing life together. Some might say, well, Dwayne Wade, the only reason he's able to have stories like this is because he's rich. I would say he's rich in love, because there's a lot of rich people that don't do that. And I'm saying that if we're rich in love, we could turn this world upside down. But we have to reject isolation. We have to reject individualism. Which brings us to this moment. Something that we do every week. We come together to celebrate death, burial, resurrection, and the body of Christ. With communion. We eat bread, we drink juice. And we do this because Jesus hinted to his disciples that, and as often as you do this, you invoke my memory, you invoke my teaching, you invoke what I brought to the table. And what I bring to the table is God's love. What I bring to the table is this ethic of loving God and loving others. So Luke chapter 22, we read of this last meal. It says, when the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant of my blood. The bread, the cup. This morning, I want to invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper, not just as a celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is that. But also a celebration of our community. As a symbol that we are unsubscribing from isolation. That when you take this bread and you pass it to the next person, you are saying, I want to do life together. I want to love you as Jesus loved you. I want the world to know that we are followers of Jesus because of our love for each other. So I break this bread with you. So if you have been selected to serve, if you would take your places with the bread, let's pray. Holy God, thank you for your body, for brothers and sisters, for this community of love. God, as we eat this bread, I pray that you would bring to our remembrance the story of Jesus, that you would bring to our memory, our minds, our hearts, the commandment to love one another as he loved. God, we eat this bread in celebration of the great sacrifice that Jesus provided for us, and as a celebration of the gathered body of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. life. Pray for the cup. Holy God, for the blood that was shed, we are ever so grateful. It is this blood that runs through all of us, the family of God, the family of love. Thank you for the great sacrifice of Jesus. May this love bind us. May his blood that frees us, may it also bind us in this community of love as we share a message of love. God, may it prompt us to unsubscribe from isolation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to the table of mercy, prepared with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Why don't you come at the Lord's invitation? Receive from his nail-scarred hand. Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb. Come to the table of mercy, prepare with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Why don't you come and receive from his nail-scarred hands. Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb. Why don't you come at the Lord's invitation? Receive from his nail-scarred hands. Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb.
Feet of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb.
The invitation today is to unsubscribe from isolation, to reject this notion that doing life alone or by yourself, or just your family unit, or us as a church, to think that we can just do it alone or by ourselves. We reject that. God created us to do life together in community. We've just celebrated that by eating the bread and drinking the wine. And so we continue a brief invitation for anyone here who, if you're in need of prayer, maybe you're struggling with loneliness, maybe you're struggling with isolation, maybe you need to step out on faith, you need some strength and some courage to step out to ask some folks to hang out with them, to be with them, to be a part of a connect group, to be a part of a Sunday school class, to be more committed to the worship gathering. If you need prayer for that, we want to gather around you and pray for that. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to confess, you want to be a part of this family of love, you want to say, Jesus Christ is my Savior, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you can do that. Let's stand, let's just sing.